This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, October 4th, the day of the opening of Parliament, which we will talk about today. If you want to give us a call at some point, the numbers to do so are 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, or you can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, that's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, that's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. BTC Flow Channel 612. So I did go to the opening of Parliament, the new session of Parliament under the Davis administration. I was invited as a former member of the House of Assembly, but I went in any event because as a talk show host, I thought I could get a sense of the feel and viewership and the visual and then the speech itself as read by Her Excellency, the Most Honorable Cynthia A. Pratt, our Governor General. And so I went. I have to say that the infrastructure for the hosting of the parliamentary session in the square was A1, very, very well done, very comfortable, given I imagine that if it was outside in the direct heat, it would have been something to endure. But it was, the tent was air-conditioned and quite organized and befitting a ceremony such as we had. The protocol and other measures put in place were on point, and so there was much to be said positively about the infrastructure for the hosting of Parliament in the square. Might I say this while I'm at it? There is nothing untoward, problematic about ceremony surrounding the opening of Parliament. Nothing untoward or problematic about the pomp and pageantry attendant to it. Pomp and pageantry is not just shallow. Pomp and pageantry isn't just for pretty. Okay, to not understand that is to not understand the reason pomp and pageantry happens. For instance, you could celebrate a child's birthday without party. You could do that without cake and ice cream and dress up and stuff like that. A church could celebrate its anniversary without pomp and pageantry. In fact, you could have church without pomp and pageantry. But we dress up, we put on big fancy hats, suits a lot of times. I mean, nowadays we live more casual, but we do these things. Why? The pomp and pageantry points to the degree to which you uphold the thing you are doing as important, meaningful in the scheme of things. And you don't do it every day. You do it on occasions because you are pointing the mind's attention to the importance of a thing. In heaven, if you're a Bible reader, pomp and pageantry happens every day. They are around the throne all day long saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." The gates of the place are made with pearls, and the streets paved with gold. That's pomp and pageantry. Why? It is significant of the importance ascribed to the thing. So that people dress up and people wear regalia and what have you on that occasion. Well, that part of and parcel of indicating both tradition, importance attendant to a thing. If that was all that happened, you'd say, yeah, well, that's shallow. But that's not all that happens. All right? When the speech of the throne is being read, ain't nobody paying attention to nobody's regalia. You're listening to the words of the speech. You're listening to the content of the speech. So pomp and pageantry is part and parcel of human existence. Even in nature, there's pomp and pageantry. Peacocks trying to get a lady. Take them blooms and they spread them wide. That's pomp and pageantry, trying to get something done. You're trying to say, I'm important, pay attention to me. So pomp and pageantry, you know. So I thought the people who were dressed in their regalia were nicely dressed. The members of parliament and the senators were not in pomp and pageantry. It was the people around it. Even the governor general was not in dress and pomp and pageantry. She looked very nice. But it was the judges and the other people and this and the police force and the defense force. This is part and parcel of a pointing to the significance of the event. And parliament is a big deal. Now, mind you, parliament may not impact you the way you want, but it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. Take the work of parliament out of society and chaos will soon ensue. Why? Because you keep on maintaining order by passing and having laws. So parliament is a big deal. So I went. It was well attended. I have to say, even in terms of former members of parliament on both sides of the political divide, perhaps more so on the FNM side of the political divide, many were in attendance. Many I saw. I saw PLPs in attendance, formers too, but I did not see as many as I, at least not in the section where I was sitting, as many as it seemed like on the FNM side. We shared good fellowship on both sides, both exchanges and so forth. Then, you know, I sat there. I was eagerly anticipating the speech itself. It's read by the Governor General. And the speech, if you got a booklet, has 32 pages in a book size speech publication. Once again, I think that the government's legislative agenda as articulated by its speech from the throne, the legislative agenda does not appear to be heavy. Does not appear to be heavy. But, you know, I'll tell you what, in case you missed it, you can expect as direct legislative action. The government says that it will form a downtown management authority and establish that authority in law. So there shall be a downtown management authority act established by parliament. And that authority will be responsible for continuing the revitalization of downtown. So that's one piece of legislation. The government says it will pass, it will move a public service reform bill. Now, depending on the nature of that, that could be big. So public service reform bill, it shall move. That's a second piece of legislation. The government says it will repeal and replace the Stem Cell Act. That is another one, so that's three. The government said that they will introduce legislation for the care and protection of older persons. So that's another piece of legislation, that's four. I don't know what that will entail, but it's intended to give adequate care and attention to older generations of Bahamians, is what the government said. The government says that it will have a legislative agenda to promote the growth and diversification of the economy, introduce measures to combat high rising cost of living. It doesn't mention any legislation, but says it'll pass legislation to do these things, to boost development in communities throughout the Family Islands, provide support with housing, protects natural resources, and resolve longstanding issues relating to land, and advance a range of initiatives to develop the national infrastructure. Now, I could tell you, I don't know how many pieces of legislation will be involved with that, but if that's a focus and they actually do something in relation to that, that could be a very heavy thing, but no specifics. So I can't count that as five. That's a promise to pass some stuff, to move some stuff. So I don't, that's not specific. Then, now, I have to come back to this. I mean, it's very important. I'll come back to this. The government says it will pass the Bahamas National Development Plan Bill. So it's going to have an act to govern the Bahamas National Development Plan. That's the fifth thing. I'm going to come back to that. So the government says it will introduce economic empowerment zone legislation. That could be heavy. That could be important. The economic empowerment zone legislation. So that's sixth. It'll pass intellectual property legislation. That's very important too. Very, very necessary. So that's seven. It says new opportunities will be created by legislation regulating cannabis and hemp. I thought I heard someone say that they didn't mention cannabis and hemp, but it's right there. It says new opportunities will be created by legislation regulating cannabis and hemp. So that's eight, I think, if I'm not. It'll pass legislation to introduce a yacht registry. That's nine. And then it'll pass a legal profession amendment that will advance and establish a modern approach to oversight of the legal profession. It'll be interesting to see what's in that. It'll be very interesting to see what's in that, but that's heavy. That's 10. It'll pass a new securities industry bill. It'll pass a new digital assets registered exchanges bill. It says it'll pass a registrar general bill, a new one. So that's about 12. It'll pass consumer protection legislation. Now, some of you who asked for this yesterday, you got it. Consumer protection legislation will be passed. That's about 13. There'll be a renewable energy bill. That's 14. A liquid natural gas bill. That's 15. Introduce a bill to amend the National Insurance Act. So that's 15. And then a National Insurance Chronic Diseases Prescription Drug Act. Well, that's what they're going to be amending. So that's 15. There'll be a local government bill, new local government bill. That's 16. And there's going to be a new Urban Renewal Authority bill. That's 17. There's going to be a National Forest bill. That's 18. There's going to be a Bahamas Wildlife Enforcement Network bill. That's, where was I now? I lose count. There's going to be a new Environmental Planning and Protection Act, a new environmental plan, and regulations attendant to that act. There's going to be amendments to the Defense Force Act and regulations. There's going to be a Royal Bahamas Defense Force Cadets Bill passed by the government. The Immigration Act is going to be amended. and there's going to be National Security Council bill, National Intelligence bill, and the Continuous bill, an anti-gang legislation bill, and amendments are proposed to the Firearms Act, Supreme Court Act. There'll be a new court services bill. There'll be a new Data Protection Act. So, you know, it's actually, this is actually a much heavier agenda with reasonably more new legislative initiatives than was in the first speech from the throne. So depending on the content and nature of these bills, this could be a very heavy legislative period for the government. It could be a substantial one, depending on the content and nature of these bills. Now, I want to go back to the Bahamas National Development Plan bill. Well, let me save that. Let me save that and ask you a question. So you heard me mention bills that the government proposes to address. What are your thoughts? How do you feel about them? What do you think? All right. Are you interested in, are you intrigued by, are you impressed with the Downtown Management Authority law to be passed, the public service reform bill to be passed? Are you intrigued about the National Maritime Instruction and Training bill to be passed, the Creative and Performing Arts, well, the National Youth Commission bill? There's going to be a National Youth Commission bill to promote a National Youth Commission bill and a National Service bill, a National Service to bring into being a national service. It's not called National Youth Service, it's called National Service, even though it only mentions young people in the context. It says a national service bill that will invite our young citizens, not our old citizens, to register for national service. Only young. Are you interested in that? Are you interested in the Stem Cell Act? Are you interested in the care and protection of older persons legislation? Does that intrigue you? Do you think that's going to be impactful? What about the legislation that's supposed to address growth and diversification and combat high and rising cost of living? Does that interest you? How about the Bahamas National Development Plan bill? Does that interest you? Are you interested in economic empowerment zone legislation? Are you interested in intellectual property rights legislation? How about the cannabis and hemp legislation? Does that interest you? The Riot Registry, does that interest you? Are you interested in a new legal professional amendment bill? Are you interested in the securities industry bill, new digital assets and registered exchanges bill? And the list goes on and on. Did you listen at all to the speech from the throne? And what are your thoughts? If you want to speak to us, call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Text us on 4224796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. All right. What do you think? Tell me. I mean, actually, again, it's a much more substantive legislative agenda than the legislative agenda that was announced in the first speech from the throne. And again, because we don't know what the content of these bills will be, it's hard to say exactly how impactful, but in terms of what the intended objective of them are, they could have some impact. Now, we'll talk about some of these as we go along, but we're going to take a break, our first break, and then when we come back, I want to mention something to you about the National Development Plan bill. Hi, I'm Shabaya Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my marched the car. The lady who ran into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian 96 and 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. The speech from the throne was read today. A new parliament was opened today. The government announced its new legislative agenda. And so we now know what the government's intent is in respect of this upcoming legislative period. So I wanted to mention, if you want to call us, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Now, please, 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 if you are or you're in the government of the PLP, please do not get upset with me. Right? I'm only sharing a thought I have arising out of what I heard. And so it's just, this is a talk show host, and we have shared and talked about many things. And so like any other thing, I'm sharing a thought. If it were me, and it was not me, I'm not the government, I'm not in government, but if it were me, and I were writing this speech from the throne, the very first thing that I would have mentioned, and I would have connected every other thing to it, was the passage of a Bahamas National Development Plan bill. Why? A National Development Plan is an overarching master document to govern every other thing you do. It cannot be a subset of any other thing. It can't be that you're doing this, 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 and by the way, we're also doing a National Development Plan. Right? Because what you want, see, the National Development Plan will be to incorporate, incorporate the national the National Development Plan in law. So presumably, if I'm the government, I want to adopt that plan, right? So I'm telling you, as a country, we have a draft national development plan. We do right now, the Bahamas does. It may be necessary to do some public, further public discussions about it. But to be honest with you, I would bypass that to this extent. I'd bypass it to this extent. What is there can be adopted, incorporated into law. Why? Because you want to give it the force of, you want to give it some rigor, and you want to give it some stability, and you want to give it some fundamental national grounding. That's what law does. This is a formal policy of the government enshrined in law, just like the Hawkesbury Creek Agreement is enshrined in law as a Hawkesbury Creek Agreement. You do that with the National Development Plan, which means that a next government can change it. You know, a new administration could change it. They can get rid of it. They don't have to follow that. They could repeal the law, but they will have to come to the Parliament of the Bahamas and explain to the Bahamian people, but like getting rid of the National Development Plan. Really? You can get rid of a National Development Plan? So that's what the benefit you get out of incorporating it into law is. But it can't be a subset of every other thing you're doing. It can't sit alongside everything other thing you're doing. A national development plan has to be the master thing you're doing, and every other thing is a subset of that. So I'm going to pass a national development plan bill that will provide a master framework for every other thing we do in government. So our intellectual property legislation is being pursued because the National Development Plan calls for us to strengthen our international intellectual property provisions. I'm passing a national service bill because in the National Development Plan page, this, that, and the next thing it calls for, and everything we do gets tied into what? The National Development Plan. Because if you wake up in the morning and you're the government, and you are acting and behaving and operating, if you're not doing that on the basis of a National Development Plan, what are you doing it on the basis of? It could be a tactical plan. It could be an operational plan. It could be a strategic plan. But it ain't gonna be no National Development Plan necessarily, because the National Development Plan becomes your master planning document. Be the first thing. And why wouldn't every other thing be tied to that? I'm passing a maritime services bill because the National Development Plan says that we should pay attention to our international obligations in relation to X, Y, and Z. So I thought that was, to me, I'm just saying, it's just me. I'm just, you know, don't get mad with me, man. If I were framing it, I thought it would have been a beautiful framing of this. And it would have been the first time in the history of the Bahamas that we would have been delivering a speech from the throne in the context of a national development plan. See what I'm saying? You don't have to agree. I'm just saying, it's just my... My 3 cents, probably weigh 2.5 cents. I don't know, you know. So, but there's going to be a National Development Plan bill passed, and a legislation bill, and alongside a legal profession amendment bill. Not these things being done in the context of our national planning. See, your national plan ties together your efforts. They help create the level of collaboration, cooperation, coordination that is helpful in moving big things forward. And a nation is a big thing. National development planning is complex, man. I like to hear Bahamian some come on these radio shows and think and talk, but man, really, all this simply have to do, and all this simply ain't no simple, nothing but national development. Nothing. That's why we get mixed up, and that's why we get wrong too many times. Is it simple? Not simple. How it can be simple when you're dealing with human beings with all kinds of diverse interests, aspirations, skills, education, background, ideologies, philosophies. Simple man, God knows that. God only had 2 people and it can get complicated in the garden. So you need to have some coordination, some planning to try to pull that diversity together so it could work for the benefit of the whole. All right? So that would have been my thing. What do you think? You could call us. You could call us 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or you could text us 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me 439-3043. Tell me what you think. And then what we're going to do, we're going to take a break and then pay our respects to our sponsors. And then when we come back, I want to walk through some of these in particular, piece by piece, and ask you, you know, again, what your thoughts are. And then in the second half, I want to talk to you about how passing legislation was of the puzzle. All right? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
It's Whopper Wednesday. Every has Wednesday.
Benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF Margin Group.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, the afternoon following upon the opening of Parliament and the presentation of the speech from the throne. So, our establishing law, the Downtown Management Authority, to oversee the continued revitalization of downtown. When you hear downtown, this is downtown Nassau. It's in downtown Freeport. It's in downtown Abaco. It's in downtown Long Island or nobody else. This is downtown Nassau. When you hear that there is an effort to revitalize downtown, what comes to your mind? What does that conjure up for you? And does that excite you? Like, what does that mean? Revitalize downtown. What does that mean? So let me ask you. So let's suppose we tear down every ugly building downtown, or we repaint them and make them look that nice. Will downtown be revitalized? Would that count as revitalization? If you got rid of every nasty looking building downtown by either pulling it down or painting it up so that when you drive down Nassau, it looks pretty. I mean, at least it looks cleaner and neater. Would that be revitalization? Does that what that means? What does that mean? What does the revitalization of downtown? And in fact, it says revitalization. When was Nassau vital? Because to revitalize something means it was vitalized before. When was Nassau vitalized? Somebody tell me, y'all who've been around a little while, describe for me the vitalized Nassau that we are now trying to revitalize. And when was that vitalized Nassau? When was that? Somebody, was it in the 50s? Was it in the 60s? Was it in the 70s? Was it in the 80s? Was it in the 90s? Someone tell me 1963. How old are you? Tell me. I'm being that serious. You say 1963. How old are you? You're 46. What you know, but 1963 revitalized Nassau. Are you 46 years old? You was born. You had been born in 1976 or something, 77, something like that. But you know, revitalized Nassau. Since we are trying to re, which means to again vitalize, re means to again, when was Nassau vitalized? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Light, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank God for life. I ain't that old. Right? As you mentioned just now, I ain't that old. But to me, the revitalization of downtown Nassau requires Bahamas back into downtown Nassau.
Seeing what?
Putting the Bahamas back into downtown. The Bahamas was taken out of downtown, in my opinion. Was taken out of downtown, and we have everybody else except the Bahamas. That's, to me, that's what the revitalization of downtown Nassau would be.
Okay, so describe for me what the Bahamas being back in downtown would look like to you. Tell me what that would mean. We would go downtown and we would see what? We would experience what?
Well, like I say, right, I ain't that old, right? But from what I could recall, my parents, them speaking about, there was a lot of things about the Bahamas, the indigenous Bahamas that were in the downtown Nassau area. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
And from what I see, the few times that I passed through, a lot of Bahamas is not there. And that's, to me, that's why, using your words, it needs a revitalization.
Well, I'm not saying it needs a revitalization. You know, I'm saying the government says that it is going to pass legislation to have the authority, the Downtown Management Authority, be established in law to continue the revitalization. And I'm asking the question, when was downtown Nassau vitalized? Because revitalization means it was vitalized before and you're trying to vitalize it again.
Yeah, that's what I was just responding to. That's not what I called about. I was just responding to your question.
I said,
I'm not that old, but based on my knowledge, my little knowledge about the Bahamas and doing my own research and studies and so forth and putting my own programs together. The Bahamas was taken out of downtown Nassau, and that's why the term revitalize might be needed in this case.
I got you, brother. Appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
What I call? Yes, hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Hello? Okay, we lost you. If you want to call back, call.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Go ahead. Yeah, we lost you for a minute.
Yeah, I was calling, you speaking about the speech part of what you were saying, because I didn't get it. When you were talking specifically about the National Development Plan, Development Plan mentioned in the speech of June? I didn't hear it because I was at an appointment.
Yeah. They said they were going to pass a National Development Plan bill.
Okay, all right, I understand that, because I know some time ago, I think it was under the Christie administration, they had somewhat to say that they had put together a National Development Plan. Now, whether or not it was implemented or they started to implement it, I can't say to what extent, but then you're saying now they even something different, and I agree with you if they're going to put it in law.
No, this isn't something different. Actually, Mr. Christie's administration developed the current draft National Development Plan. So there is right now, today, a draft National Development Plan. It appears that the Davis administration is going to adopt that plan and enshrine it in law.
Okay, I hear you now. I do apologize. Like I said, I only got a bit of it. But my research of the National Development, and I admit that I did not look at all of it. I only looked at it in part some years ago back during the Christie administration. And I would beg to differ, because there are two things about it that your comments were made, but there are two things that I could respond to you. The National Development Plan, and what Mr. Christie put forward, when I did the research and I compared it to the, at that time, what they call our plan, that is just something, just an extension or a mirror of what our plan really was. And the other thing for me was...
Actually, I will tell you, if you're talking about the last hour plan that Mr. Christidos did, in fact, it wasn't the National Development Plan mirroring our administration, mirroring the National Development Plan.
Okay, all right. I take that. And the other thing that I wanted to say is that it appears as though, from my little research and so forth, it appears as though it's lacking the input from a greater involvement of society, because it seems as though it only comes from the higher up, so to speak, or certain departments or certain government agencies, just to put information forward as it relates to the national development and the development of this plan. But I didn't see anything that would come from the common man or the person, you know, in the overhill and those type of things. And that's one of the things that I had an issue with regards to that plan.
Well, you know, I can tell you one thing. There's no question in my mind that you did some research about the National Development Plan. There's no question. From what you are saying, it's clear that you did. But let me say this to you. You're right to this extent that the consultations that were done initially were of a technical nature, so that only most certain set of skill set and knowledge was involved with the director of development of it. But the plan drafters themselves said to the government that this plan draft now needs to go to the broad society for broad consultation. So they acknowledged that. So it was only a draft to be taken to the public now to ask the public to provide commentary on.
Okay, well, that's fine. And that's where I would like to get in, because I too, because of that and what my belief and my research led me to, what I have done is that I have put together a 40-year national plan on my own with the research that I did, but also taking into consideration something that I think would come from the common man, from the ground going up and not from up high coming down. I think that's the difference with regards to what the thing that I have put together and what they presented. Something like a national plan should come from the ground up, because it's the common man who needs to have a greater involvement and be a part of that development process. And I think from the Christie administration, even the England Minister administration, this is something, in my opinion, they have missed.
I hear you, but my brother, let's be practical, seriously practical now. If you ask me, as an example right now, to draft a plan for my house, I couldn't do that. What I could do is I could say what I would like in a house. I could do that. I could tell the people I want a 4-bedroom. I want 3.5 baths. I could say I want a pool. I say I want upstairs and downstairs. But I need the technician, the expert, this professional, to be able to say to me, yeah, but we have to use this kind of material. We have to put this kind of electrical in place. We have to put this kind of mechanical in place, this kind of plumbing in place. So everybody has to be involved. I don't like this notion of from the man on the ground, the man up top, as if because I'm educated, because I'm rich, I'm not as equally important in the scheme of things as an average man. What does that mean?
Don't get me wrong. I probably may have come across wrong. I'm not saying that what I do is what to present it. All I'm saying is that it's to supplement what's been happening, because most of it is coming from the top up, from the top coming down. But I'm just saying that from my side, I did it in such a way so that it will supplement what's there, so that we could have a more cross-sectional area of where the plan will be coming from. Not only that, also to respond to what you're saying is that you mentioned about having the skill of a plumber, having the skill of an electrician and so forth and the rest of it. My studies and my research have taken me where I've learned a lot of these things. I've studied what Parliament does. I've studied what goes around in the constituencies. I've studied the technical areas of all of those areas. And because of that knowledge that I've gotten, I've taken all of that and put together that I mentioned. And it's to take into consideration like an idea that's coming from us as the persons on the ground, so to speak, so that we can supplement what is there.
But it can be coming from us if you drafted it. It's coming from you.
No, I understand. I only put it together, but it's a matter of getting information from all these different places and all these different people.
I got you. Well, you know, when they do have the consultation process, then you would be in a great position to make a contribution. In fact, there is a committee, a National Planning Development Committee headed by Mr. Felix Stubbs. And if you truly want to make a contribution, you should take your draft and you should submit it to them or seek to meet with them so that they could see it too. And that could be a part of their input.
Certainly hope I have the opportunity. I look forward to it.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Take care, man. Take care. This text says in the 90s, cobblestones and building renovations says in the 90s was when Nassau was vitalized. Well, I was in Nassau in the 90s. I became a minister in 1997. I lived in New Providence between 1992 and 1995. And so downtown was okay, but what was there so fantastic about downtown in the 90s that you want to go back there? Is it the 90s you want to go back to? Tell me, somebody. So, Shivago, one thing that I get out of the speech from the Governor General's speech, the National Development Plan, where all the stakeholders across the board will have their input in the National Development Plan, we're all in our mind to become one to develop this country. Okay, thank you very much. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good evening, Mr. Lang. My name is Robert Santos. I'm
63
right now, so I go back a little bit to...
You're breaking up. I can't hear you. Go ahead.
Anyway, I'm calling about the revitalization and what was vital back in the 1960s and early 70s.
Okay, I don't know what's going on with your thing. It might be mine, but I can't really hear you well.
Okay. Well,
try and call back after the break. Do you have another call on the line?
Okay, very good. Thanks.
Yeah. Do you have another call on the line? No? Yeah, I'm not sure what was going on there, but there was something going on with this. It said, bring back the stop and shop jam up and all on two-way traffic. That's when Nassau was vital, eh? Nassau was vital when you had stop and shop and all that jam up. Remember when by Kelly's dog there, all the jam up used to be when they trying to pull out the trucks and the trucks pull in, you couldn't get past, and then there was two-way traffic, like this person says. Yeah, I remember. Was that when Nassau was vital? Well, you all is something else now. All right. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back, after our discussions and look at some important things around the legislative agenda of the government. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. We are here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. As you know, speech from the throne was read this morning. Parliament opened its new session. this new session. And now we know what the legislative agenda is, my assessment. It's a reasonably, I initially thought it was light, but it's a reasonably weighty session, depending on what the content of some of the proposed legislation would be. And so the government would have its work cut out for it, and the members of the parliament would have their work cut out for them. This Texas City, I think up to early 80s, downtown was still a place to go, okay? All those stores were still open, and there were still a few night spots downtown, okay? Can still remember my young daughter not wanting to wear a dress said that she wanted to save for town. She's now 44. Yes, Bay Street now seems a shadow of past time I only passed through. Yeah, you know what? You're right, because in the 80s, I remember there were these discos downtown. There, you know, folks used to say how they were going to this club. It was on the waterfront. They're on the eastern end of Bay Street. Remember, was it Waterloo? That was the name of it, Waterloo. And then there were all these discos down there. People used to go to, and the shopping was robust. I remember going downtown to shop, being taken downtown to shops, okay, in the 80s. So, but do you think the idea is to return to something like the 80s or to try to get to the kind of robust traffic that you had down there? Because you're right. I mean, Bahamians love to go downtown. Going downtown was a big deal, right? And so maybe the idea is to get back to that for both tourists and for the rest of the country, right? Anyway, but that's just downtown management authority. There's a promise to pass a public service reform bill. What do you think that's going to mean? Reform it how? What law could you put in law that would reform the public service? What does that reform? What is it about the public service like you think needs to change? Reform. What would that mean? What do you do? What are you going to change about the public service that requires legislation? Because you know when legislation means this is law, and if you breach it, you have broken the law. So for instance, their general public service. These are the rules that civil servants are expected to comply with in order to not be written up for some offense or maybe even be fired. Are you going to put general orders in law? Like when you say public service reform, you mean public service reform or public sector reform? Just let me give you an example. You can put in law that a public servant of a certain rank who participates directly in bipartisan political activity could be reprimanded or fired. Okay, you could do that. That's for the civil servant. How about a law that says you can't take a government car to a partisan political event? How about a law that says that? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, listen. Mm-hmm. I think talking about would violate what the government was talking about, fixing up downtown and different
things. Downtown, yeah. The revitalization, yeah.
Right. I think they really was looking at. My belief mm-hmm. is in the 80s, but now mm-hmm. it's a point part of the 80s. I don't think they really want to focus on
that. What part of the 80s they wouldn't be looking at?
They wouldn't be looking at the part like, okay, from, say, like from 70, from the 70s to 82.
Yeah, you mean that big drug era. That big drug era.
That part could come back. That part would be showing you about how fellas used to be diving downtown on the dock, diving out by the dock.
Okay.
And I was a part of that.
So you don't want that no more?
No, I don't think they're going to allow that no more.
Right, okay,
they used to call that a ras in the tourists back then.
But that period you talked about, wasn't that the heavy drug period too? When crack cocaine and all that trafficking was happening and downtown was affected by that?
No, not around in 82.
Not in the 80s, not in the early 80s?
Started like around in 84, 85, around there.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, but I thought it was before that because remember the Commission of Inquiry came in 84.
Right. But see, when that did come, the drugs was in this popular until after the Mission Inquiry.
It was on the ground after that.
Right.
Okay.
It wasn't that popular. But what I'm saying is, you're talking about downtown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Around 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, I think we stopped by 88. Downtown was blinging.
Yeah.
Downtown was like when you want to go talk about it, when you want to go by Walmart and things.
Right. I remember that. Like you on Saturdays, you used to get up to go to downtown.
Exactly. You dress up. The scene was, let's go downtown. We can go do some shopping. We can buy Burger King. We can buy McDonald's. We can buy Kentucky. We can just have some fun. Then the evening, we'll go chill out and probably Millie's. Go in Millie's Club. Probably go by the Palace. Remember the Palace?
Even like Grand Central was saying something. Because I remember you could go to Grand Central and get turtle. You could get turtle meat, stew turtle meat, all kind of stuff, right?
Exactly. See, and I think that's the kind of downtown what the government really want to focus on.
I got you.
But for them to do it now, they got to look for plenty Bahamian people what willing to work along with them to make downtown look like that again. Well, I mean, they ain't far from it, you know, brother Lang.
It's making some.
Once they get that eastern part, downtown up and going concerning, according to what I heard them said, bringing some events and things back and, you know, some live bands, some different things like that, some places what is attractive to tourists on Bahamian.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what they need to get on Bay Street. That's all they need to get back out there.
Somebody. I appreciate it, man. You've been very helpful. Very helpful. Thanks for that. This text is, good afternoon. I so admire your objectivity. You read, review, evaluate, synthesize, and analyze, and then address. Thank you very much. We have to have a dialogue that works, man. We gotta be objective. I have my views, but this text says, good day, Shabaro. Good show as usual. I believe the club downtown you were referring to was the Pacific. Really? No, was it? Some of my fond memories of downtown as a child was the police band played on Wednesdays and it was Gumbe on Friday. Yeah. It would be good to bring those back with perhaps more Colorwood and other Bahamian show. Yeah. I mean, listen, man. But first of all, right? Bahamians, we forget the government for a moment. Like, we have the opportunity to be exceptionally creative and innovative in our entrepreneurship downtown, you know. I think Bahamians can write plays that can be played downtown on a regular basis and make money from it, from Bahamians and tourists. I think Bahamians can create food carts and stuff like that that can be really helpful and do well downtown. And I think we have to develop some of these ideas. And then the government, we have to say, government, I said, don't get in my way now. Organize, ma. Tell me I can only be here. Tell me we can only do this there. Tell me this is the standard quality we require. But after you're done with that, let's get out of my way, please. And don't tell me because I'm a PLP, I can't get the license, or I'm an FNM, I can't get the license. Don't tell me that. I came up with the idea. Just please get out of my way and let me do it. And we can get lots of robust Bahamian, culturally exciting things to do. And downtown should be downtown, man. Downtown should be downtown. Every country should have a downtown, a spanking downtown. It's like going to New York, you go to New York on Times Square, spanking, right? Every country should have one. Say, with mother sick, I forgot about the Grand Central. Yeah, you know, I know about the Grand Central, man. My brother who passed away, my eldest brother, my mother's first child. He was somebody who loved turtle soup, turtle stew. And boy, every time he'd come to Nassau, that's what he wants you to, or he want to do, he want to go down to Grand Central again, that turtle stew. Now, you know you got to be special to make cooked turtle meat. Anyway, so public service reform is on the agenda. Wonder what that will be. Then this National Youth Service, what will that be? Now, see, National Youth Service, is it mandatory? Is it voluntary? This says it will invite, so that means it ain't mandatory. So don't run around telling people about, oh, every young person can do National Youth Service, because that's not what it seems to be indicating. So we'll have to see what the content will be for that. We have a call on you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. It's good to hear you. I was calling about the idea about what used to be and what would be back to again possible.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea what's happening with your phone.
Sorry. Okay. My main thing, I don't know if you can...
Speak slowly so we could make the words, yeah.
Okay. What I'm thinking of right now for the idea of revitalizing of what was vital in the older days was before the cruise ships were told they can't stay overnight.
Before when?
The cruise ships, when they could stay overnight.
Before the cruise ships.
That assisted in all the restaurants, the places that were back and forth with the music, with everything else around here. It also assisted with the people going from one club to another over the hill and back again from Junkanoo to everywhere else. It was like...
What years would those have been before the cruise ships? I'm not familiar myself. Which years?
I would say during the 50s, 60s, and early 70s. And then 50s, the cruise 60s, ships.
Okay. Because when those kids used to dive off the dock there, the cruise ships weren't coming in then, eh?
Oh, yeah, they were. But I'm talking about the last dock.
When you'd have
everything downtown was alive at night, and everything went out from there too, Penis Theater to Yellow Bird to Junkanoo Club to everywhere else. The limos would take people from first show to another club for a second show and reverse the same thing for them. It was much more alive. You know,
it contributed
to life before the cruise ships were allowed to go and carry their passengers off and keep overnight for themselves.
I got you. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's good to hear you.
Likewise. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Brother Lang.
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm talking about Bay Street.
Bay Street
used to be a thing where you starve all week in school just to save your lunch money to go downtown Bay Street on Saturday.
Really?
To eat McDonald's. That's when McDonald's used to be in the Hilton.
Okay.
In the back of the Hilton, in the back where by St. By Senior Frogs area.
By Senior Frogs.
We used to go up in the back there. You dress up. You save your best clothes for Saturday.
Right.
You go tote your water early and do whatever your chores are. So by 12 o'clock, you're in the cool. You go downtown.
When was this? Which period?
This is like in the 85, 86 time.
Okay,
this
so
when
let's
they had
say...
the lumps. Then you're looking for your member of parliament. You don't have to go to those assembly. You go by there at a restaurant called Lumps. That's where all of the member of parliament eat.
Okay.
All. You go in there, you meet all of the Arlington butlers, I don't think Sir Clifford used to be in there, but a lot of the senior men, those who are trying to be politicians at all, used to be in there. Then you had your Bay Street, but you know Bay Street used to run west. Now Bay Street running east.
Right. Well, it used to run both ways first, right? And then it went one way.
Yeah, both ways, that was way before my time.
Okay.
Because they even used to have Junkanoo both ways on Bay Street. They never used to go on Shirley Street and Parliament Street.
Let me give you a little bit of history. They never used to go on Shirley Street and Des Yavago Lang was the Junkanoo. I started that.
You think so?
I'm telling you I did.
Then you better take your kudos. I didn't know that. And I'm a Jokanua. I don't know that. So,
you were responsible
for that prize money being raised so high in Grand Bahama
then. Yes.
With Motorboating the Classic Dancers.
Yes, and then all of those
prizes.
And then, so Algin and Allen started the seating on Bay Street.
Yeah.
But elevating that to that high rise, I did that.
Okay, sir. I remember you. You've been as a mutant sport. I remember that.
Yeah.
But Bay Street used to be the place to be. And I heard that somebody, either you or the gentleman just now, was talking about the fellas diving.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the fellas used to climb up on the rope that had the cruise ship dock in.
Mm-hmm.
Climb up on the rope and dive off for the quarters. I know they used to find them quarters, but they used to come back with them quarters in their motor, in their pocket, and they.
Right.
It used to be a lot of excitement, man. But what really killed Bay Street was when they built those malls. Them malls take the people on Bay Street.
Yeah, some people suggested that because it took the shopping away from Bay Street down to the malls. Yeah.
Yeah, when they had all the new horizons and all of them things, the little hotel at Ruby that Louis Stokes had. Could go in there, but what could be a good thing? There's a major Jokanu group that has a Jokanu shack on Bay Street. If they could find a way to sell their shack as a museum to the people and have the people rush from the cruise ship to the Jokanu shack, has like a little 15-piece combo.
They were trying that with the welcome.
Yeah, but with the welcome center, you got to stay right there in the port. This shack is down on the eastern end of Bay Street, like a small walk.
I see.
It's before you get to the VIP hotel, the VIP Chinese place. That big part, it used to be a shipping area, used to be in there. That's a Roots Chocolate Shack. And they could have something there in that yard.
Right.
You know,
right.
But.
Okay.
And then the next thing before you go, the people need to move Bay Street off Bay Street, and I don't know how they can do it. No, they can't move Bay Street. Downtown. Include Mason Addition into downtown.
Mm-hmm,
stop downtown
mm-hmm.
as far as Mason Addition. Because the Saxon has about at least 4 to 5 Jokanu shacks right in Mason Addition. The tourists them could go in and see what's happening with our culture. They maybe one of them could have one with the biggest yard, could have a little rush out. That include the 66 step. Yeah, and you can do a walk-in tour there from the cruise ship to Mason Addition. You ain't got to drive. A walk-in tour. You can walk East Street down and use the 66 step coming back. So you cover the whole area.
Right. But listen, man, I appreciate you calling. But they may never know. You never, they ain't going to listen to you. All you need to do is go. You could go do something. Thank you for calling, my friend. I appreciate it, man. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I'm enjoying your show today, listening in from Eleuthera. I remember the Nassau shop, their quality sweaters, the Stop and Shop for your household items, etc. Let me know something. Nassau had its Bay Street. That's true, on downtown. Beautiful, wonderful experience. Do you know, in Freeport, going downtown for us, I can tell you, us kids, was fantastic. Fantastic, man. We used to go to the parking shop. Somebody just reminded me of that. We used to go to the parking shop. We used to go to downtown to Winn-Dixie. Oh, going downtown to Winn-Dixie was like another event. So every island, every place needs a center. And it's not just for shopping. It's an opportunity for people to interact with each other, to see each other, for communities to connect with each other. That's what these downtowns tend to create for societies, right? So it'd be beautiful. Anyway, the government says it's going to pass some legislation with a view to trying to make that happen. So let's see how that rolls. We're gonna take a break, ladies and gentlemen. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. RFgroup.com.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, the afternoon following upon the speech from the throne. We've got a couple of callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. No? Hung up? All right. This text says, Bay Street needs live Bahamian entertainment on a weekly basis. And says, I thought that when the new port was built, that the cruise ships would stay overnight. I don't know that to be the case. I know that was one of the things they were seeking to promote. Says, Bay Street has a major rodent problem. Yeah. Says, the Gombe Summer Festival they had in July was nice on Bay Street. They should have a native festival every weekend. Okay, I got you. I got you. There you go. Maybe somebody's listening. And we'll see about doing just that. So I want to tell you something, right? So there's a good piece of, a good number of legislative promises in here. All of them can, depending on what they ultimately end up being, can be, I believe, positively impactful for the society. All of them can be. Not all of them are directly beneficial to many, many people. Not all of them, right? But some of them can have direct benefits. Consumer protection could have a direct benefit for many people, depending on the nature and content of it. But I want to mention something to you, but let me read these texts. This text says, excellent discussion between you and that guy. It's in the management of the weeds that the garden is maintained. The details, wow. Yeah. This text says, right, revitalization. Not sure when it was vitalized, but things like the Town Center Mall, food court and game rooms, Independence Plaza, 90 Cent Store, Jonas George, One Stop Shop at 99 cents, Whopper Jr., Toys R Us, the Tracks and Scorch Count, Under the Bridge Without the Drama are some of the things that made a difference for me. Okay, thank you. Texas, Mr. Lang, Bay Street may never be the same again. The number one challenge is a lack of parking. Everything being sold on Bay Street is available in Palmdale and Carmichael Road. Bay Street lost its attractiveness a long time ago by breaking down a few buildings to be exciting to go downtown, not anymore. As a matter of fact, this person is making a good point that you have the mall, so you can't do anything but that now. But if Bay Street is going to be attractive, it has to be attractive for different reasons. So it has to have a unique pull. So people could go to the mall and then decide, oh, I get Bay Street. So what that's going to be? And what should that be? That should be entertainment, man. You can't go in the, you will be entertained in the mall for a little bit, but you can't be entertained in the malls. But if you go downtown Bay Street for for stuff, you know, for unique stuff, like, yeah, anyway, like, if maybe they had, like, a, like, I mean, like, if, you know, they, in Florida, they have something called Meisner, the Meisner area. I don't know if y'all know that area, right? It's in Boca, and it's got, like, all these eateries and then upscale shopping, and then they have, like, iPic theaters and stuff like that. So you could, that, it's unique space. It's a unique space. And so Bay Street would have to be that, I imagine, is what the text is saying. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, downtown Freeport was a great thrill. Burger King, Park and Shop, right? Right? Where everybody used to go to get school uniforms? The Park and Shop. Ice Cream Parlor, Winn-Dixie. Then afterwards, we would go to Columbus Movie Theater. Yes, sir. That's a Freeport child right there. Says, good day, and Hoffa Building by Mr. Roach Bookstore was the place to come. Clothes Closet, John Bull, Kelly's, Burger King on the upstairs of Elizabeth Avenue, Dock, Stop and Shop, and Thompson Department Store were the place to go. By the way, even though we are downtown Bay Street, Freeport, and you wanted to go downtown Bay Freeport, International Bazaar was slamming. The same time, you know. So you could go walk from the bazaar, go downtown, walk back to the bazaar, and you were having a day on a Saturday if you were in Freeport. All the tourists were down in the bazaar. Zanzibar, you remember Zanzibar, China Temple. And I mean, it was just a ton of stuff to do. You love that kind of stuff, man, to give robustness and rigor. We got to get it back, man. We can do this. Okay, let me tell you something. So governments pass these laws. That's just the first deal. It means the law is on the book. Then the law has to be enforced. That means that it isn't the police alone that enforces the law, by the way. The police enforces some of the laws, all of the laws, but some of the laws more directly. The Customs Department does some. The Immigration Department does some. Other departments of the government does some. Because, for instance, even the antiquities, the monuments, people have to do some regulating, the Securities Commission, and all these kinds of things. So all kinds of government entities are involved with the enforcement of the law. But in terms of executing some of the provisions of laws, governments have to work with the civil service. And that means ministers working with permanent secretaries. Now, let me tell you something. You want to screw up the efficiency and effectiveness of a government? Listen to me now very carefully, because some of y'all don't listen well sometimes. Let the minister and the permanent secretary not have a mutually respectful and cooperative relationship. It can't work. It can't happen. Now, what that means is ministers have to understand there is nothing you can really get done in a ministry much without a permanent secretary. That's what they're there for. They are there to facilitate the, you know what I said, lawful. You can't tell a permanent secretary to do something that breaks the law. If the permanent secretary tells you, Mr. Minister, what you are asking me to do is contrary to law, it violates this regulation, then you can't force a permanent secretary to do that, and you might disagree with them. So what you then need to do is to go and ask your attorney general to look at the law and to give you an opinion on the law, and then if the attorney general tells you that the permanent secretary is not right, you could take the attorney general's guidance back to the permanent secretary, and then the permanent secretary could say, oh, but at least I have the benefit of the guidance of the attorney general. But if the attorney general tells you no, the permanent secretary is right, then your backside needs to stand down and you need to go and say to your parliament, your cabinet colleagues, listen, we are trying to accomplish this, but the law says that if we want to accomplish this, we have to change the law to do that. And then you move for the amendment to the law so that they can take that to parliament, do the amendment, pass the law, and then you can have the permanent secretary do as you instruct. But that's their job. Their job is to execute government policy, to see to the execution of government policy. That's the job of the permanent secretary. You don't walk inside the government because you just get elected and now you're the big, big man and the big, big woman. You start telling permanent secretaries what to do no matter what. That's not how you do it. That's going to cause problems. Similarly, I don't care what your politics are and you're a permanent secretary. Your job is to facilitate the plan and the agenda of the government, lawful plan and agenda of the government. And if the government is seeking to get something done and you think it's contrary to law, you have to advise the minister and then say to the minister, here is a way it can be done if we can have this amendment made. But you have to do everything in your power, lawful power, to advance the agenda of the government. Now listen, Mr. Minister, Mrs. Minister, I mean, you might be down to government house, you're listening to me today, but maybe somebody will tell you, Mr. Minister, Mrs. Minister, you got to be able to listen, man. God dang it, I know you got elected and I know you have power, but you got to listen, man. You got to be able to listen. Don't ever let permanent secretaries think that they cannot freely speak to you, that if they speak to you, they may suffer some reprimand. Let them be able to honestly and openly speak to you. They are professional people. Let them do their jobs. You will benefit from it, especially when you're young. I was young. I was young when I went in the cabinet. I was young, 29-year-old, and I ain't gonna lie to you. A couple of my permanent secretaries, I was a little stubborn. Little youthfully naive and stubborn. And that did create some problems. It did for me. But once I understood some things, and thank God Mr. Ingram was the kind of leader who mentored and helped me to appreciate and understand how I needed to proceed, I did that, and it was very useful to have a working relationship with my permanent secretaries. You got to be able to listen, man. Don't get caught up. Listen, man. Listen to me. I promise you. The same time, it's the same way you meet them permanent secretaries on your way up, they will greet you on your way down. Because they ain't going nowhere unless they retire. And why do we need ministers? Why? I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, why do we need to be? Why do we need to be dogmatic? Why do we need to be rude? Why do we need to be, belligerent? You don't need to do that. The service is there to assist the government in the execution of this agenda, because this agenda is a mandate from the people. You don't have no permanent secretary has a right to interfere with that. But there is a working professional relationship that has to exist between the minister and the permanent secretary if things are to be done well. All right, you can't have a dysfunctional relationship with permanent secretaries. And sometimes ministers go, listen to me, y'all ain't gonna tell me nothing. You go inside there, you just get elected, you just get appointed, and this one whispered, and let me tell you all something. Can I be honest with y'all right now, folks? Let me tell y'all what happens. You just get elected. And boy, when you get hit that office, the biggest F&Ms in the world, because you're the F&M coming power now, they want to bend your head and tell your child, like, look out for that one. Look out for that machine. See, they can sabotage your program. Your PLP coming office, the biggest PLP is child. They the red, they the blood people, and so you got to be careful with them, child. Blah, 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 blah. So everybody want to try to bend your head to get you to lean in that direction. So you go in there prejudicing, bias in your eyes, thinking of people in this kind of isms, kind of schisms, kind of way, as opposed to allowing people to perform, and then you evaluate their behavior. And so you start acting and treating them with this jaundiced eye approach, and now you are souring the relationship before you even gave it an opportunity to start. Don't ask me no questions, because I know what time it is. Especially some of it. And this isn't just the young ones, you know. Some of the older ones are worse at this. Because you think you know. Just because someone is F&M or PLP doesn't mean that they automatically would be opposed to a program. That's ridiculous. The Prime Minister is a PLP. Does that mean I can't trust him to lead the Bahamas for all the Bahamians? Every cabinet minister is a PLP. The whole government elected is a PLP. Does that mean that I cannot trust them to lead the Bahamas for the whole Bahamas? Is that what that means? Well, boy, we're in trouble then. Well, if you expect the Prime Minister, who's a PLP, to lead F&Ms too, why can't a permanent secretary who's leaning, you think, may be PLP, serve the F&M? Or who may be F&M, serve the PLP? It's nonsense. It's ridiculous. And we are screwing up the Bahamas in ways because we will not be professional people. We will not take our bipartisanship and put it in our laps until we do the job we are requested and required to do by the Bahamian people. We are messing up our country. And if you are PL, if you are permanent secretary or deputy permanent secretary or anything like that, and you are screwing around with the government's work because you can't get along with the PL because you don't like them, then you are a problem. If you are a government minister and you are messing around with the permanent secretaries and they're doing their job because you think there's a F&M, then you are wrong and you are messing up the Bahamas and all of you know will have to go if that's what you're doing. Or change. One of the two. Go or change, please. Because we all need you to succeed. I am never going to get down on my knees and pray that Mr. Davis fails in his objective. I'm going to pray that he succeeds. Yeah, and Mr. Pintar is my friend. My very good friend. And so Mr. Davis succeeding might be contrary to what could help him, but that don't make no difference to me. And I want Mr. Pintar to succeed. And what him succeeding might be contrary to Mr. Davis's ambition. I don't care. I want both of them to succeed. Because that's what we need in the Bahamas. We don't need failures. We don't need to be running around telling people we got to vote for lousy against lousy. Or we can vote for bad against worse. That's nonsense. I want to vote for good versus better. That's what I want to do. I want to vote for people who are getting it done for the Bahamas and ain't giving one hoot what anybody thinks as long as what they are doing is right. Right? So let's get it together. This nonsense. Permanent secretaries need to be functionally working with ministers. Ministers need to be functionally working with permanent secretaries. And let me tell you all something. Listen to me. I'm telling you all, I'm 56 years old. I have some very profound and fundamental things in my life to face. What you try to do to me, what you want to do to me, I am convinced and persuaded I will be all right no matter what. No matter what. If I die, I will be okay. I want you to look, don't play no rhetoric game with me. I don't want you to, don't talk no good talk when you get in front of a camera and in a microphone giving speech. And then when you get in your offices, get in your ministries, get in your places, you go and act the fool. I don't want that for my country. I don't. Nonsense. I worked with a prime minister. Listen to me. I could tell you all the God and the truth. You all could get mad at me and tell me I only an Ingram lover. I worked with a prime minister who I promise you, one day someone who used to rail against him, rail against him, call him all the names on planet Earth, try to dog his program. This wasn't a government a person, mind you. This is someone out of government who called me one day because they were in trouble with a government ministry, in big trouble with a government ministry, and said, will the government settle for this if I am able to do it to resolve my matter? And I went to Mr. Ingram, and I said, Mr. Ingram, so-and-so called me and asked me X, Y, Z. He said, yeah, go ahead and do it. No debate, no nothing. Go ahead and do it. God dang it. That's what we need in the country. That's what we need in the country. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
In the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
It's
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and Gretzky.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 308-8477-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back to these remaining moments of the show to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon where the government has opened the parliament, started its new session, and read the speech from the throne. This text says, Mr. Lang, the change of the direction of Bay Street was the nail in the coffin. I operate a store on Bay Street at the time. We immediately saw the downturn. Okay. The downturn in on local customers. I wonder why. What do you think did that? Like, why did the change of direction do that? So with a well-executed plan, Bay Street can come back. Yeah, I think so. I agree with you. So this line, a dysfunctional relationship between the minister and the permanent secretary reminds me of the English comedy, Yes, Minister, Yeah. Yeah. They would have had hints of it. Listen, pass all the laws you want. Develop all the policies you want. That minister and that permanent secretary does not have a functional relationship. Each permanent secretaries aren't elected by people, so they don't get to... they don't get to determine the direction of government policy. They do not. That belongs to the political directorate, which is the minister. So the permanent secretary doesn't make the policy determination on matters, but the execution of government policy is on the permanent secretary leading the ministry she or he is responsible for. And I pray and hope the day will end when we take in professional people and sending them home to sit down and do nothing, or where we, to, because use PLP or use FNM, send people to exile. That means you go somewhere and there ain't nothing much. And that kind of stuff. Listen, man, every human being has the capacity to step up to the plate and perform even in environments where they do not feel the most comfortable if they are prepared to be focused on the mission and on the prize. But this base politicizing of things is inappropriate and unbecoming mature people who call themselves adults and then trying to lead people to a unified effort in the country. If you can't be unified with the people you're working with, you can't unify no country. That's hard. Now, if people are not prepared to cooperate with you, if people are not prepared to work with you, there's nothing you can do about that other than get rid of them. I mean that. If you ain't prepared to cooperate, no matter what people try to do, ain't nothing you can do. That's like, listen, you can, two people only want to be married. One of them ain't want to be married. You can't stay married. Two people can only be partners in a business if both people want to be partners. If you don't want to be in the partnership in the business, there ain't no way for the two of you to be in there because you can't stop people from doing what they want to do. But if people are prepared to make an effort, do not allow your bias, do not allow your partisanship, do not allow your immature naivety to disrupt the capacity to perform in the interest of the Bahamian people. And don't tell me, no, it's, oh, I'm doing this in the interest of the Bahamian people, and all along you only mad with the permanent secretary because they won't get your man or woman straight on a matter that the permanent secretary know you need to go through the procurement procedures in order to do. Don't make me talk. And it goes both ways, man. Don't get mad with the minister because you was long overdue a promotion under your or under the other people's party, and ain't nothing happened yet for you under this party, which is supposed to be your party, and now you're going to throw your hands up and you ain't get the job. Then, man, come on, man. None of you know this Mr. Payroll, no matter what you do, because the Bahamian people pay your money. So if that's the case, when you want to be vexed and ack up, go home. When you then do your way, go home and be vexed and ack up all you want. No problem. But as long as you're being paid at the public treasury by the public people, the people's taxpayer money, do that job, man. I'm talking about the government minister and the permanent secretary. I'm talking about all of them. Do the job. We need you, man. We need you to do the job because we are counting on you. We got far too many young people who are losing hope in this country. We got far too many older people who are struggling and straining in the country. We got far too many people who have such aspirations for the country and are so disappointed and frustrated by the lack of the realization of some of those aspirations, that if we don't get it right, that trend we saw in the election last time when too many people sat home and didn't vote, we'll be shocked to see what happens next time. They're going to sit down at home again and say, listen, man, what difference it make? Waste my time. These people joking. Joking. Let me tell you something, buddy. Listen to me. Can I tell you something? Can I tell the elected official something? I've been there twice. And 5 years come sooner rather than later. And I want to tell you something. You can do the best job you can do, and you can still lose. If you do a bad job, you will lose. But if you do, you can do a good job and still lose. I can tell you this much, though. There's only life in a country after politics when people believe behaved in such a way as to have taken their interests seriously and to have regarded and respected them as people. That's a fact. And when you lose your job in politics, there's no transition. Today you are minister. Tomorrow you are not minister. You are whoever, whatever you is. And if you didn't get your head all big up thinking you was gonna be minister for life, and not realize that who you were before you were a minister is the real person you are, and you stay that person when you are in office. When you lose office, you ain't gonna know how to catch yourself. my friend John Wayne said to me about 2 weeks after we lost the election in 2012, I went and I started mounting some seminars and doing some stuff. He said, but Shivago, but you're doing like you ain't never was in office. I said, that done, that finished. Next. Right? This is the reality. We work for a people for a time at their pleasure. And when they are no longer pleased with us, we move on. And that's why you should perform and act with the people that you have to work with, the directors, the permanent secretaries, and the other people in such a way as to understand who you serve. Both people, be it permanent secretaries, ministers, directors, ministers, undersecretaries, ministers, everybody, judges, they all wait for somebody too. Listen, man, I love you guys. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. If I have offended you, Don't hold it to my charge. Just pray for my repentance. God bless you all. You all have a great evening. If he spares life, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Be up. Janet Martin and Dr. Saul Spiritchild. Well, we got a good one for you. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. Can't complain, this is your
See live off the record with Rocket King, the Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
And I just can't keep living this way.